This is Mae Brussel. It's the second half of broadcast number 726, and I'm talking about the suicide of Dan White, the murder of Mayor George Moscone, and Supervisor Harvey Milk in San Francisco. I was just quoting information I had from past broadcast number 388-390-391. If you want to order those broadcasts, send a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll give you information on how to get those tapes. I think they're very important, as I say, to go back that many years and then look at the news now and study the articles and the history about San Francisco to see how, as William Buckley says, the assassination is very necessary and is changing the fabric of American democracy. Now, in the article in San Francisco Examiner, Who Owns Dan White? There's an article, The Selling of Dan White, and it goes into the people downtown who gave him money and put money on him that were not for Mayor Moscone and Harvey Milk. And just some of the supporters were Warren Simmons, the man who owned a big developer, owned Pier 39, where Dan White was renting his little potato restaurant, Gary Vannelli from Pier 39, Robert Warehouse, a Simmons employee at 39, Crown Zellebacher, Citizens Savings and Loan Bank, and the Redwood Bank, the Emporium, the large retail chain similar to Macy's, and also Macy's was supporting him, and Foremost McKesson, the large dairy in San Francisco, Bechtel Corporation, with their links to the CIA, the Department of Defense, Pentagon, and as I say, the foreman for the jury worked for Bechtel, Standard Oil of California, and the law office of Pillsbury, Madison, and Citro, that represent the Rockefeller and Standard Oil, the billboard industry, Foster Kleiser, the Eller Outdoor Advertising, Ghirardelli Square, the largest resort area in the San Francisco for visitors, large shopping center, Embarcadero Center, Cyril Magnin, retired, formerly owner Joseph Magnin, and he spoke up on behalf of Jim Jones, that happens to be my father's first cousin, nothing to do with me, I hardly ever, if possible, see Cyril. He spoke up in favor of Jim Jones and tried to stop a New West magazine expose on Jim Jones. And Mr. Cyril Magnin, it was Mr. San Francisco, he represents all the visiting dignitaries and so forth that come to San Francisco. And Bob Lurie, owner of the San Francisco Giants. I don't want to run over too much more because those tapes are available. That's a view of the past of Dan White. Now, Dan White served a lot of purposes. He was a time bomb. The clue to his self-destruction possibly came in a magazine that is printed in the Bay Area that's very important to San Francisco called Focus Magazine. It comes out to the intellectual elite and so forth. It's the listener's public-supported station. Up here it's Channel 9 KQED, and it plays in other cities' different channel numbers. Their new magazine this month has a picture of Harvey Milk in there, and they're going to show The Times of Harvey Milk. That was the Academy Award documentary last year. And here's Dan White living in the city of San Francisco. And his magazine just came out this week, the same week that Harvey Milk's killer, Dan White, commits suicide. They're going to put on the picture two times of Harvey Milk. Incidentally, I recommend for people to see it. If you don't have a video recorder, tape the sounds and voice. It's a very interesting movie. I saw it in New York last March and happened to be at the theater the night when it came out. They said this movie just won the Academy Award. But it reminded me of John Hinckley, the week that he shot Ronald Reagan, another mind-controlled job. That Newsweek had picture of Jodie Foster for no reason. She's at Yale University, and a lot of kids at Yale who want to be actors and actresses and those who already are don't have their picture in Newsweek all the time. But there was a photograph of Jodie Foster the same week that came out prior to John Hinckley shooting the president and shooting off the brains, literally killing his brains, of Mr. Brady, the press secretary, and several of the security guards about Ronald Reagan. Now, the excuse for the acquittal for murder charges, but he's just kept in a mental hospital, are for Hinckley that he had a love for Jodie Foster, and her picture just coincidentally came out at that time. And Dan White kills himself just at the time that Focus Magazine announces that the subject of Harvey Milk is going to be played two times at least in the Bay Area, and everybody will get a chance to see it. And Dan White gets a lesser charge, and he's out in 4.5 to 5 years after he kills 2 public officials in the City Hall of San Francisco on a defense that sugar content makes him crazy. And that's the famous Twinkies defense. And while he was in prison, he not only showed no remorse, but he had no psychiatric counseling. Nobody could unwind his mind, and I want to get to that. And he kept on eating all the sugar he wanted. So 2 very political people, as William Buckley knows, John Hinckley, who, if he had shot the president and killed him, we would have George Bush, a former director of the CIA, as the president, and then the great Alexander Haig, the vicar of Washington, the Knight of Malta, who said, "I am in charge of Malta," along with Buckley and various characters I mentioned before. Haig would have been prominent in the White House just at the time, 2 months prior to when the Pope was going to be shot, and Haig was part of that conspiracy with Michael Ledeen to blame the Soviet Union for the shooting of the Pope, trying to tie it to Aja. So Haig was tied to the Aja Ledeen story. He was standing up in the front mic, but John Hinckley is now in a mental hospital, St. Elizabeth, where he has announced his intentions to marry a woman who's there for murdering her child. And Dan White, just coincidentally, was allowed his conjugal visit and gave birth to a deformed child. One is locked up for killing her child. The other one gave birth to a deformed child. Both of them got off. One wasn't even charged with murder. Hinckley was charged and acquitted, and Dan White got the lesser charges. And I believe that White and Hinckley, of course, were mind-controlled zombies. So in the next 2 weeks, or if it comes to your hometown, be sure to see the movie of Harvey Milk. Now, the important thing about the Harvey Milk movie is that Milk is not only a gay activist, and there's a lot of emphasis put on the fact that he was shot because he was gay, that Dan White shot the mayor, then loaded the gun, walked past Dianne Feinstein's office, and then shot Harvey Milk because he grinned at him, supposedly because he grinned at him. But Harvey Milk was doing something that the COINTEL program wanted and Operation Chaos wanted, that the government had put in operation from the Pentagon and the defense and the CIA and the FBI, and that was to break up disparate groups. The purpose of the COINTEL and Operation Chaos was to break up various groups of the blacks, the prisoners, the Black Panthers, the Chicanos, the Venceremos, and the lesbians, homosexuals. And what Harvey Milk was doing, very prominent in San Francisco, was that he was working with the anti-war movement, and he was collecting all these separate groups that if they ever got their heads together, they could overthrow the power structure. And that's why the power structure has to keep killing their leaders and breaking them apart and putting wedges between the groups. And Harvey Milk was a born leader, a great personality at a camera store in Castro Street. When you see the movie, you realize that the anti-war thing was as much into the mind of this Dan White, having his year in Vietnam, then 2 years of goodness knows what. There's nothing about what he did at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. So that hitting Harvey Milk was as much for his anti-war activities in San Francisco, for his combining the disparate groups, and for being a gay supervisor. See, when he was replaced with after Harvey Milk was killed, another gay, Mr. Britt, took his place. And the supervisor on the board of supervisors, if to say, well, he wasn't killed because he was gay, because here's one gay for another. But you lose the person with the charisma. You lose the person who's organizing all the various groups and making a voting block. And the proof is that Ronald Reagan can take 49 states because all these disparate groups who combined are more powerful than the few that control are not combined. And that's the story behind this. Now, November the 18th, 1978, the Jonestown murder took place. And this isn't a broadcast about Jonestown. I'll do more on that later. But over 900 people were killed, and Jonestown was set up. And out of Stanford Research and Tim Stone and Dr. Godlet and people from San Francisco and money from England and so forth set up the Jonestown. But out of that, there were 1,200 passports Jim Jones had on the desk, and several hundred of those people walked away. They didn't walk away, they sailed away on Jim Jones' boats. So there were at least 140 people, at least, not accounted for, who had the bodies turned face down, who administered poison, who shot those who didn't take the poison, who have been tidily protected by the Central Intelligence Agency, the State Department, the Justice Department, ever since 1978, these mass murders that were called suicide, and 50% of them were murders. The bodies were left to rot so they wouldn't be identified. So somebody knows, a lot of people know in Washington, why the identification names were taken off, why the papers are locked up and never made public. And this was on November 18th, 1978. Then, and Jim Jones was a part of San Francisco politics. He helped George Moscone get elected. He was appointed to a housing commission job. And there were prominent blacks and whites in San Francisco politics, which is against those corporations that I named before. They found a common denominator between different disparate elements. And Jim Jones and was part of City Hall in San Francisco, and Dan White was part of City Hall. And then November 27th, 1978, 9 days after Jonestown, this fellow, Dan White, from the police, from the fire department, from his trips in Ireland, with his wife from Germany, who's trained in Germany and Japan, who works for the United States Navy now and has while he was in prison, he knocks down the liberal mayor and the supervisor, who happens to be gay but happens to be an organizer at the same time. Now, the San Francisco Police Department were of a mind of Dan White. He got his encouragement by them. He was told it was the right thing. Again, that's why he didn't apologize. And the San Francisco Police Department not only wore T-shirts, Free Dan White, but they helped him every way. They didn't grab him when he left the city hall. They let him go to the church. They let him telephone his wife from the doggy diner. They all knew who killed these two men in City Hall, so don't tell me he had time to go pray at a church. What they did was they gave that church image. His wife, Mary Ann, quickly runs over to meet him. No traffic, and you understand, in San Francisco. No policeman handcuffed Dan White and took him in looking like a prisoner or a killer. You never saw that. He goes with his little sweetie wife, working for the Navy, and they go to the church to show that they're religious, as against those heathen, those people over in Castro Street, or those crazy church people down in Guyana, that they're good, they're Christian, they're Catholics. And then they walk in and turn themselves into his best friend, gives him a telephone in the cell and so forth, and special food and treatment. But the San Francisco Police Department, where today they have swastikas and symbols of Nazi Germany, as do the prisons, and they helped also to train certain people at Jonestown and to shoot certain people at Jonestown. And the shooters are out, over 140 of them, never seen, never accounted for, or the boats accounted for that they escaped on. So what you have in San Francisco are members of the police department strongly linked to Jonestown, and you have Dan White, part of the police department, and Mayor Moscone, who's linked to Jones, and they're going to wipe out the mayor and the supervisor. But the guy who does it is told, just like Jack Ruby was told, that he's a hero for clinging up this mess there. Jack Ruby was going to settle the Dallas assassination by killing Lee Harvey Oswald, and then they wouldn't have to have a miserable trial. Well, if Oswald was alone and there was no conspiracy, he would have done Dallas a favor, because if Oswald was charged just for killing Kennedy for reasons the Warren Commission cooked up, then the city would clear itself of being a part of a cover-up or a conspiracy. So Dan White had an important role in a city that had a lot of violence, and before it, there was a lot of violence and chaos. And the sympathy of the establishment, the conservative elite, was always with Dan White, and they let him out to dry. Now, that movie, The Times of Harvey Milk, was made by a gentleman by the name of Robert Epstein. And he had an interview in the San Jose Mercury about this movie, and he tells about in 1978 how Senator John Briggs was pushing a proposition in the California Senate, Proposition 6, to stop homosexuals from being teachers. And Dan White was very active in San Francisco to get that bill stopped, and he campaigned, and he was a real leader. In the movie shows he was a leader. And the fellow who made this movie, Epstein, Robert Epstein, says the problem he was trying to show was American values were in conflict. Now, American values were in conflict, just as William Buckley said, but they're going to go farther right now. They're not going to go back to where they were. Every time you get a political assassination, it's never done for a purpose to make things more left. There's no communist or leftist killing the right wing so that we get liberal policies. No liberal ever replaced a conservative after an assassination. But every murder that I cite in the beginning out of Buckley's article and book made something go farther right. So Robert Epstein is saying, asking the question, how do conflicts get resolved in our society? And he talks about Dan White, the hardworking, the conservative, the American boy, the family man, as against Harvey Milk, the all-American boy who won the system, won the elections, and was proud and holds up his hand after his victory in the camera store the night when he went in as a supervisor and when he defeated Proposition 6. And he says Harvey Milk believed in change. And then Mr. Epstein said White couldn't cope with change. His inability to accept change is what led him to kill, that he himself couldn't accept change. And he says, in the San Jose Mercury, I'm quoting the article, he said, the world doesn't stand still. We all have choices about achieving and accepting changes in our personal lives and in society. Harvey Milk's way was to communicate and interact, and he was happy and joking, you know, and Dan White was different, and his actions speak for himself. And then the article goes on that Dan White set back San Francisco progressive direction for countless years to come, and he deprived the gay community of a potential national leader, something so needed in the age of AIDS. Now, that's exactly what Dan White was doing, but it isn't Dan White's tragedy. It's what he was selected to do. He came out of a family mixed with the fire, the police department, the San Francisco establishment. And the point that Robert Epstein is missing is that the jovial attitude, the positiveness of Harvey Milk was just a temporary thing, that Harvey Milk, in my interpretation, was not in contact with society, as are all the Democratic and the Black and the gay and the anti-nuclear people today. The trouble with Epstein and those people is that we are left poor, the minorities are worse off, the gays, the Blacks, the Chicanos, and Jews are going to get things harder because decisions in this country are met by the bullet. And until you recognize that, wherever Harvey Milk was and George Moscone, when John Kennedy had his head blown off, if they didn't care about that particular murder, with all the literature, with all the people speaking up, goodness knows there was a lot of opportunity. I've been on the air since 1971, and in San Francisco in 72, I was flooding the airwaves in their city on the Watergate connections to Nazis, to the John Kennedy assassination, and so forth. Never response from them, their aides, supervisors, or anybody else. And as I say, on the anniversary of Kennedy's assassination, what I want to say, and I've said it before, and it bears repetition often, is that only and only when people recognize their past can they ever account for the present or figure out the future. Only that Harvey Milk was a political activist. He wasn't interested in who killed John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Medgar Evers. I could name 20 others, but those affected America the most. He thought, I have a camera store. People like me. I'm dedicated. Look, we're underdogs. I'm gay. You're Black. You're Chinese. Let's get it together. That is one way to do it, get it together. But at the same time, you have to know that if you don't go into who killed John, then you haven't got a chance to live either. Because if you can take a man who's the president of the United States and blow his head off in Dallas in full sight and have a man like Dan Rather tell you the head went forward when the head went backward and lie about the bullet direction, and Dan Rather heads the news on CBS, when you get outright lies like that and you accept that, the Zapruder film has flooded San Francisco, they didn't care. Once you open up the wounds of political assassinations, then people can get together, not before. The anti-nuclear can fight nuclear bombs, and then comes Daniel Graham and Fritz Kramer and Edward Teller and say, yeah, you're right. You don't want atomic bombs. We'll have a protective Star Wars defensive over you with laser weapons. You're right. You don't want that. Let's do it a different way. The world doesn't stand still. That's what Robert Epstein said. He's correct. But it doesn't stand still and goes forward. And if you don't believe it, read your morning papers. Read what's happening to the farmers, to the banks, to the water, to your food, the agribusiness. Read what's going on in the world in terms of medicine. I just read that the government hospitals, the federal hospitals for veterans and so forth, They're saddled with like $32 million of lawsuits for malpractice and the prison system's lawsuits, overcrowding, and malpractice medical there. But besides the medical care of the prisoners, just take, as I say, your banks and your farms and your food and your homes and the cost of inflation, of various things happening to you and your own insecurities, your government without enough money to write its paychecks this next week, having to hold back paychecks because there's no money to write their checks. Things don't stand still, Mr. Epstein. They get worse. And as John Dean said to Richard Nixon, there's a cancer on the presidency. There is a cancer in this society killing off all these kinds of people. We don't have choices about achieving and accepting changes in our personal lives. Epstein says we all have choices about achieving and accepting changes in our personal lives and in society. There's some things you don't have choices about any more than you have choices about not getting cavities or losing your teeth and not brushing your teeth. When you get up, if you want to brush your teeth and save your teeth, you floss and brush and take care of them. Otherwise, those teeth fall out. Some things you don't take choices about. And the killing of our public leaders or the rock musicians in the Bay Area and the directors and producers, and now the creation of AIDS. I did a half-hour broadcast on AIDS, and also maybe you saw from the Soviet Union this week, allegations that AIDS is man-made by the United States biological warfare. And I'll do more next week. The only people, and I'm going to say this, I've said it before, but I'm really harsh about this now. The only people today who have real choices are basically white. They're Anglo-Saxon. They're Protestant or Catholic. Not the cult people. They don't have choices. They have prearranged nursery schools, prep schools, colleges. There's radio broadcasts now about selecting colleges when your child is in grammar school. They have built-in systems and always had that exclude all those things that Harvey Milk identified with from the society and the power structure creates in their laboratory, like Frankenstein, a Dan White, to make sure that these people keep their choices down. And this is why you have so many street people and bag ladies and so forth. Dan White didn't set back San Francisco's progressive direction. This is what Mr. Epstein says regarding his movie on Harvey Milk. He says Dan White didn't set it back. But what he said was by killing Harvey Milk, he set back the progressive direction. That isn't true. San Francisco set it back themselves, not Dan White. They never investigated the Dan White case, even the people that wrote the plays on him. They never went into the trips of Dan White. Dan White got a telephone call in the morning. He doesn't drive his own car, Mr. Macho Family Man, to work. A woman picks him up. He climbs through a window, and nobody checked that window. If the City Hall pays people to guard weapons as you come through the door, then City Hall must know that the windows on the ground floor are closed. So a conspiracy is two or more doing an illegal thing. And Dan White knew when he got a telephone call to put a gun in his pocket, to take extra bullets to reload, and to go through a particular window and go right in. It was split second. He didn't look around for a window. He didn't send someone in to open a window, or did he? And if he did, then that person knew that he couldn't come through like everyone else because the weapon would make a zing where the guard is. His trips to Ireland before he was married, he went there on his honeymoon. He was there before, and particularly the 4 months before the murder. Those trips to Ireland are important. The $50,000 fund he got for them to live off while he was in jail, who and why put that up? His 2 years in North Carolina at Fort Bragg, what happened there? And the zombie trance that he never got out of. Now, if a man is put in prison and he's given, say, 7 years, which Dan got, and then he got two off light, if he has no psychological training, and if he still eats those sugars that he did before, and no psychiatrist can break the trance, then he shouldn't be paroled. I read recently that somebody wanted parole from Vacaville or Folsom, and they wouldn't give it to him because he refused psychiatric training. Now, if the defense of Dan White was psychiatric, and he refuses to be helped psychiatrically, then you know, of course, he could go down Castro Street and kill a whole bunch of gays. But in this case, he had to end it according to them and end the control and kill himself. Now, there are lots of books on mind control. A lot of places in California where mind control zombies are created. Candy Jones came from New York and had to go to Oakland for her mind control, or sodium pentothal that gave her two personalities. So the people in San Francisco have heard many radio talk shows on books like Operation Mind Control, The Control of Candy Jones, and so forth. So why haven't they gone into these things? These are the people that have set San Francisco back, not just the shooting of Harvey Milk. That isn't what did it. Now, several weeks ago or a month ago, I was reading part of a manuscript or a description of a person from the Aryan Nations, from the National Socialist Party. It's a technicality, which name they want to use, whether it's the identity or the National Socialist. And this is a fellow who lives in Salinas, and I quoted his appreciation for Adolf Hitler. And in his description, he's like Dan White describing White's personality: dogged, stubbornness, mission-oriented, arrogant, belligerent, and his great affection for Adolf Hitler. And I had this on a broadcast, his ability to serve the cause of Adolf Hitler. And also, his political achievements were described, and this isn't a book of fiction, this is the Fuhrer of California describing his achievements. A unit member in El Monte, California, with the Nazi Party from April 1966 until he was transferred to the San Francisco unit by Commander Cole after his return in Germany in 1975. Now, we're talking about the streets of San Francisco in 1975, when Dan White was working for the police department and then went to Ireland and came back. The member of the Nazi Party was an officer in February 75 to April 76 in San Francisco. He was a leader of the Nazi Party unit April 76 to November 78. Now, he was a district leader of the Northern California District November 78 to September 80. Now, April 76 to 78 was the time of the zebra, the Patty Hearst, but this is when the gay bashing was going on. November 78 was when Dan White killed Milk and Moscone. It was when Jim Jones and the people of Jonestown were wiped out, a real Nazi mind control program. And this fellow describes his National Socialist Award promotion to stormtrooper, team leader, and group leader, and a socialist wound award for severe injuries received during a major street battle September 26, 1977, in the streets of San Francisco, and an Adolf Hitler 10-year service medal and Hitler's leadership medal. Now, the question was, if the network of the Nazis that is national and then international tied into Manfred Roeder and the late Otto Skorzeny, who set this up, and Mr. Erlinger in Buffalo, and Hans Ulrich Rudel from Hitler's Luftwaffe, and connections to Nazis in South America and Germany and up in Idaho and down to Lockheed. These connections involve people from Lockheed, from the Boeing aircraft, from the Air Force, and from United Technology. And this fellow is talking about his awards and injuries. What happened September 26th? Somebody in San Francisco gets these tapes. Look up the police records of Nazi stormtroopers in 77 and see if Harvey Milk was confronting American stormtroopers then. And then Dan White, through this whole time period, as I say, he comes home from Vietnam and he's in San Francisco in the police department, and he's in Ireland, he's at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. So in San Francisco on the streets, you have Commander Cole from the Nazi Party. You have this leader, the future Fuhrer, who's arrived from Germany. You have Mary Ann, who not only works for our Navy, Mary Ann White, but who had 4 years in Germany. Did these people know each other in Germany? See, these are the connections that are the true story of Dan White. I don't have time to do all the mind control, but I'll do some of that next week and go into that in detail and do part two of this particular series on Dan White, because the streets of San Francisco had plenty of violence and Nazis there, and Dan White thought he could survive as a member of the supervisors, and the liberal Mayor George Moscone thought he had it made, and in comes this mysterious person with all these trips and experiences who wipes them out. Now, Francis Moriarty, a Catholic priest who covered the Dan White trial, wrote an article in the San Jose Mercury, saying White made no confessions during the trial or after or before. He made self-serving justifications. He didn't have the slightest hint on his tapes he made or letters he left, suicide letters for them, that he ever examined his conscience. Well, if you think of Dan White, as a neo-Nazi who'd get the lethal stormtroopers award, what conscience? The priest, Mr. Moriarty, says it wasn't a morsel of sorrow. He thinks of himself as a hero. The absence of contrition. He never showed a detest for his sins. After his release, he was pretty cocky. He never admitted anything wrong. Well, why should he? He came out of a milieu where he was told he was doing the right thing, and what Dan White represents is America. Moscone and Milk don't represent what America is. These men represent what the power structure thinks America is. And that's the problem with solving the Dan White or the San Francisco situation. The time is out now. I'll do more next week on the mind control of Dan White, because this went pretty fast and I didn't have time to go into that. But the social milieu of Harvey Milk and George Moscone and Dan White is very important, because Dan White represented the establishment from the time he was active in the Army as a paratrooper until the day he killed himself. He was proud of what he did, and the powers that be did let him down. And the only thing he could do then is self-destruct, as the CIA tells its agents to do when they're no longer usable. They self-destruct. I'll be back next week to continue some more of this and update last week's broadcast for you and go back over some of the details of 725. In the meanwhile, this is Mae Brussel, and I'll share some more of this information. And thank you again for books and articles that are literally flooding my house, but I love it. Take care and goodbye.